I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Scott Stiles. Scott is the interim city manager with the City of Cincinnati, and I know that there have been a lot of changes that have taken place in the City of Cincinnati in your tenure there over the last 25 years, but maybe one of the biggest ones is what's happened with the City of Cincinnati Police Department as a result of their agreement, what, about 10 years ago now? Maybe you can tell us a little bit about how that's working, the collaboration effort that they've done with the community.
In 2003, we entered into a collaborative agreement with the DOJ. People are pretty familiar with that following some of the civil unrest issues we had, and we needed to change the culture of the police department. And the collaborative has been unbelievably successful in helping us change the culture within the department, helping us build bridges with the community and build new partnerships. At that time, we started our Citizens Initiative to reduce violence, serve. It means a lot of different things to different people, but it involves street workers out there in the corner talking to young people who might need to get out of the life that they're in. It involves reaching out to them, providing options for them to do something different. We're really re-energizing that program just in the last 3 months since Chief Blackwell has been here. We've reinstituted our gang unit. We're doing a lateral transfer that brings in officers from other departments to help supplement our department. We're going to have a new police recruit class next year. And in the budget, we're approving some overtime resources this spring and into this summer to really help us to be involved more in the community and help us deal with some of the issues that we're faced with.
Well, it sounds like the focus is to collaborate with the community and also improve the neighborhoods.
Well, and all the neighborhoods are clamoring for, it's one of the basic services that we provide, and there's probably nothing more important than we should be paying attention to than that. So the whole SERV program is just a tremendous way for us to reach out to our partners and have them involved. We can't do it by ourselves. Every police officer will tell you that. It involves evidence-based policing. So you're looking at numbers and connecting the dots to really make sure that you're using your resources tactically and in the right way.
Well, Scott, thanks so much for what you do for the City of Cincinnati and its citizens. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Scott Stiles. Scott is the interim city manager with the City of Cincinnati. And Scott, the city recently announced a new electric aggregation contract. And I think a lot of people, perhaps myself included, are a little bit confused about what that means to the consumer, the person who's utilizing the electric in the City of Cincinnati, either as a residential owner or a business. What happens to them? What's going to happen to them on their electric bills?
The principle of electric aggregation says if you pool many customers together and go out to bid with that pool of customers, you should be able to get a better price for the energy that's being supplied to you. We started the program 2 years ago. We ended up going out with an RFP and selected First Energy as the supplier to about 65,000 residential customers in the City of Cincinnati. Citizens are automatically included in this program. 2 years ago, we got a rate of 23% under the standard service rate offered by Duke Energy, who's our provider. So it saves citizens real money on prices they pay. And we just went back out to bid on that RFP just recently and have chosen to stay with First Energy to continue that program. In the case of both years, we've chosen to use a 100% green supply of energy that we're receiving, both from the renewable energy credit standpoint, and we're also going to be pooling some of the money that comes into this program into local energy efficiency initiatives that will help citizens retrofit their homes, make their homes more energy efficient, which in turn saves us money for years to come, really.
And if you're a homeowner or a business that gets an electric bill, all you're going to notice is you're basically, your electric is now a commodity, so it's being bought through First Energy in this case. Duke is still bringing the electricity to you. They're still sending you the bill. You'll just see a First Energy name as one of the line items on the bill.
That's exactly right. Citizens are automatically included in the program for the most part. There's some minor exceptions, but they're automatically included unless they choose to opt out and go with another provider or some other program that they want to be involved in.
Well, it sounds like a nice benefit for being a resident of Cincinnati. Scott, thanks for all you do for the City of Cincinnati. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. As one of the questions that we get on our online tax chats through the Cincinnati Inquirer has to do with gambling. That's a common theme this year, not coincidentally because of the opening of the casino in downtown Cincinnati. And many people question because they've received a 1099-G, which is the information form that reports gambling winnings to you, whether they have to report that income. And certainly the answer is you do have to report the gambling winnings that are reported to you. You are, however, entitled to take a deduction against those winnings to the extent that you've had gambling losses. The gambling losses are deducted as an itemized deduction, so you have to itemize in order to be able to take advantage of that, and you can't deduct losses in excess of your winnings. One question that we've gotten this year is, do the losses have to be incurred at the same time or during the same time period as the winnings? And they only have to be incurred in the same year. So if you had winnings in 2013 and you also had losses in 2013, which it's highly likely you did if you had winnings, you can offset the winnings by the amount of the losses up until the amount of the winnings. Another common question that we've had this year, and really one that we get every year, is whether or not you can take a deduction for worthless stocks. And the answer is yes, you can take a deduction if the stock is totally worthless, in other words, worth zero. What's confusing to many people is at what point the stock becomes worthless. For example, just because a company goes into bankruptcy or receivership does not mean that the stock is worthless. Usually it's at the point that it comes out of receivership and you determine whether the stockholders get anything of value that you can determine whether or not the stock is worthless. And that's the year that you take the write-off or the capital loss on the stock. It is important to take the loss as soon as you can because otherwise the IRS may take the position that you waited too long and your deduction would not hold up in an audit. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest again today is Nikki Gordon. Nikki is the Manager of Community Relations of Fidelity Investments Midwest Regional Site. And Nikki, you're doing a pretty neat thing that kind of emulates March Madness on the investment side. It's your Investing in Students program. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what that game is and what happens to the students that participate.
So this is a unique program, and we've gone into five local schools in Kenton County and Covington Independent Middle School, and we're working with seventh graders. So they're actually going through an online simulation piece, and at the end, the students that have the highest portfolio values through the simulation get to come compete in an NCAA-style tournament at Fidelity. And what we do with that is we use this game-style format as a fun, engaging way to teach students not only financial concepts, but math concepts that are important for them.
That sounds pretty neat. And they actually win real prizes when
they win too, don't they? Yes, they get to have prizes and the top team gets an iPad. So it's very competitive.
And I assume besides learning math skills, they get introduced to things like diversification, investment risk.
Definitely. So it actually syncs up with what the teacher's teaching in their classroom. So if they're learning about percentages, for example, they're actually learning about that in the online challenge. And the students get a perspective of engagement on a different level in a tech-savvy way. And we bring in some of those concepts, which makes it unique.
Well, it sounds interesting because not only is it tech-savvy, but it's also it's something they can relate to. It's competitive, so they make fun out of learning, which is always good. Do people from Fidelity assist with the actual implementation of the program?
So we actually have volunteers that are engaged, and they went into the classrooms at a kickoff event in each one of the schools. And these students that come to our campus will participate in the similar type of game, but in the tournament style. So we'll engage a number of volunteers throughout the day, and then we'll have an exciting champions tournament at the end.
Thanks for all you do at Fidelity for the greater Cincinnati community. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Nikki Gordon. Nikki is the Manager of Community Relations of Fidelity Investments Midwest Regional Site. Amongst many responsibilities I'm sure you have, you're involved in Fidelity's community outreach in terms of financial literacy, and April is Financial Literacy Month. Maybe you can tell us why you think it's so important that Fidelity takes such a big role in financial literacy in our schools.
Well, it's what we do. It's what we offer to our clients. It's what we offer to the community. You know, we want to go to students and we want to make this relatable. We want to bring the skills of our volunteers in and teach them. And we know that students don't have those resources in many cases. And a high percentage of folks aren't prepared to make smart financial decisions in their future, but also to make decisions that impact their families and their future. And so we provide some tools and resources to students, but also to teachers through this training.
Teachers aren't trained in financial literacy. They're usually not going down that track. They don't have business degrees. And certainly the students don't have that in their curriculum. So I think it's a great thing that you can introduce it to the schools. And you do it in a pretty fun and interactive way with the students, too, don't you?
Yeah, it's very interactive. And I think one of the new components that we're introducing as an innovative thing this year is working with the teachers. So oftentimes this falls on a teacher to teach this content, and they're not adept to do that. And so we're working with the Economic Center at UC to actually bring a program to place that makes this relatable and something that they can actually infuse into their existing classes, and they see as a benefit, not an addition.
So if it makes it easy for the teachers to do it, then it's going to be easier for them to teach the kids the financial literacy, and hopefully we won't have the same issues that we had a few years ago during the Great Recession when people found out they weren't very financially literate.
Yes, exactly. It's looking at the problem from a different angle, and it's looking at how we provide those resources in multiple outlets.
And you have a lot of people from Fidelity who volunteer to work in this outreach program, don't you?
Mm-hmm, we do. And it's been great because we've been able to involve our volunteers and also our investor center. These are folks that work with our clients on the front end, and they're seeing them every day. And so we're able to bring them in and bring their expertise and really look at how we educate clients, but bring that down to a scale that's appropriate for students.
Well, a lot of it's the same. You just have to explain it in terms that your audience can understand, whether it's the student or your client, I would think. Well, Nikki, thanks for all you do at Fidelity for the community. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.